I want to look with you this evening at the words of the verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. As was so often the case in the Lord's ministry, his teaching in this particular portion is prompted by an exchange with the Pharisees. The words of chapter 10 are spoken in response to an incident that has occurred at the end of chapter 9, where the Pharisees had been contending with him, indeed through much of that chapter, over the Savior's healing of the blind man. And there was an exchange between the Savior and the Pharisees. You'll see there at the end of chapter 9, some of the Pharisees, verse 40, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Very often, just like the jeweler who displays his brightest diamonds against a dark background, the truth that the Savior taught was displayed against the background of darkness and error and false teaching. We have, as I've said, this exchange with the Pharisees. And set against their evil notions and their unscriptural teaching, there is these glorious gospel gems, one of which we will look at tonight in the words of the verse 9. The contrast between the truth that the Savior taught and the errors that were promoted by the Pharisees is such as to lend added luster and glory to the truth that the Savior speaks in promising salvation to any who come to him. There are two parables in this 10th chapter of John in the portion that we have read. I suppose for most people, as they look at the passage, it seems that there is only one. They think of John 10 and they think of those words of the verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And yet there are two distinct lines of teaching, two distinct parables in this passage, although they're obviously closely related. But in verse 1 to 9, the Lord Jesus is speaking of himself as the door. He has an entirely different picture in view, an entirely different lesson in view, as he teaches those who hear him about the sheepfold and the fact that he is the door. And then he moves on with a related picture to present more gospel truth, only this time presenting himself as the good shepherd. But in verse 1 to 9, he is the door of the sheepfold. Now you will know that in the East, the sheepfold was a walled structure, sometimes having walls of considerable height, a high walled structure into which there was only one entrance. Its purpose was to protect and shelter the assembled flocks, particularly during the night time. The flocks would have been brought together and assembled together in the fold where there was only one door, and then that door could have been easily guarded to protect the sheep. Its purpose was simply the security, the well-being, the protection of the sheep that were gathered there. Now the sheep was not only the target of the wild animals that would have been its natural predator out in the hills, and for that reason they were assembled in the fold, but also in the night time. It's clear from the words the Savior uses here in verse 1 and verse 8 that the sheep would also have been the object of the assault of the thief and the robber who wanted to enrich himself by carrying off some of the flock of some other shepherd. And for that reason, the sheep were brought into the fold to preserve and to protect them. Now, the purpose that the Savior has in the parable in this first 9 verses, where he speaks of himself as the door, is to set out very clearly the character of those who are true shepherds in contrast with those who are thieves and robbers. When we read, for instance, in the verse 2, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep," you have an immediate contrast between the shepherd of the sheep entering by the door and those who are thieves and robbers climbing up some other way. Now, what is said of the shepherd here in verses 1 to 9 will in some sense relate to Christ. That is clear. But it is not primarily Christ that is in view here as the shepherd, but rather it is those who are the true pastors of the flock of God, those human instruments that God has called to be under shepherds. And it is the mark of the true shepherd, in opposition to the thief and the robber, that he comes through the door. Here is, perhaps we could say, the ultimate distinguishing feature of a true minister of Jesus Christ. He is one who comes to the sheep through the door. He does not seek to come some other way, but he comes to them through Christ. Now, there are a number of thoughts that arise from that the Savior would have us to understand. The true shepherd of the sheep, the true human pastor, would therefore be one who is saved. He has come to Christ. He has come through Christ. He comes to minister to the sheep through the door. That's how he accesses his sheep. That's how he works with them. He comes to the fold. He leads them out to pasture. But he comes to them through Christ, not coming up some other way, but coming to minister to them, entering through the door, which in the parable represents Christ. Now, here is a true minister at work. He will only come to deal with the sheep. He will come to work with the sheep only through Christ. He comes as Christ's agent. He comes looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, representing Christ. He comes looking to the Savior to work through him and to be to give him the necessary grace to represent Christ to the people. So the shepherd here in verses 1 to 9 is the true pastor, the one who you look at the words, is to be similar to and to be like the Lord Jesus himself. Now, if I am to be a true shepherd, I must therefore emphasize the door. This is what the Lord is saying. The true shepherd of the sheep will be one who focuses on the door, who enters through the door, who preaches the door. If I am to be faithful to the souls of men, I must therefore preach Christ as the only door, the one who alone is the means of entrance to the kingdom of God, to the people of God, and to the favor of God, and to the presence of God himself. The Lord Jesus here in verse 9 gives us a wonderful statement that forms a basis upon which we may preach Christ as the door. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." Here is the essence of a gospel ministry. Here is the essence of a true ministry. Here is the essence of the ministry of the one that the Lord is speaking about here as a true shepherd. One who is not a thief and a robber, but one rather who desires the well-being of men, one who desires the well-being of the sheep of God, will be one who day in and day out emphasizes that Christ is the door. The only entrance to God's flock is through Christ. This is what the Lord is teaching here, that he is the only entrance to the flock of God. The people of God here are represented by the sheep. In verse 9, they are also described as those who are saved. Here is a man coming to the door, entering into the door. He is saved and he becomes part of the flock of God. He is numbered now among the sheep of Christ. The sheep here are those who are truly saved, those who are born again of the Spirit of God. These are the sheep in view. This is the flock in view. And Christ is the only way to be part of that number, to be part of that flock. The only way to join the ranks of those who are saved then is to come to the door and to enter in by him. That is the only way in among the people of God. Now the Savior emphasizes this truth in contrast to the philosophies of those whom he is debating with here. In verse 1, he describes them as the thief and the robber, seeking some other way of access into the sheepfold. Not content to come through the door because they have some nefarious criminal purpose in mind. They're evil men. They're out to do harm. They're out to destroy. And they attempt to make some other way into this flock, not content to come through the door. This description applies and is applied by the Lord here to the Pharisees specifically and to false teachers generally. He gives another clear description of them in the verse 8. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Now that's a statement that we need to explain because at first it may seem a little unclear, and it's a difficult statement. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Well, obviously that cannot mean those who came before Christ in a chronological sense. Because if it meant that, then what the statement means is that every other preacher that came before Christ was just a thief and a robber. Well, it can't mean that. Because there were so many faithful servants of God that came before Christ in a chronological sense that were not thieves and robbers, but rather they were faithful preachers of Christ and of his gospel. All that ever came before me is simply a reference to those who place themselves in front of Christ. We use before in that sense as well, in to speak of position relative to something else. And here are men. In the context, it's the Pharisees, those who are looking to their own legal righteousness to make themselves acceptable before God. And it's as if they muscle in front of Christ. They push themselves in front of the Savior. And all who do that, all who make themselves prominent, putting themselves before Christ, all who do that, the Savior says, are thieves and robbers. What they had done was sideline the Savior. They pushed him out of the way and pushed themselves to the fore. And so they came before him. They set themselves in front of him. And in so doing, demonstrated the character of those who were only thieves and robbers and destroyers. But this idea was common. These Pharisees had a great following, and still to this day there are many who follow this particular line of thought. They work their way to heaven, so they think. They sideline the Savior. They push him to the side. They don't need him. They set themselves in front of him. And those ideas require and demand and cry out for the plain statement of gospel truth that the Savior makes in verse 9. Wherever there is the shred of an idea that Christ can be sidelined and that I can push myself in front of him and go on my own merit to meet with God and come into the fold of God's people, wherever that idea persists, there must be the clear, plain statement of the gospel that there is one way to God. Because this is what the Lord does. It is exactly this situation that has developed in these verses. Here are men and they're pushing themselves and sidelining Christ. And what does the Savior do? He emphasizes the old truth of the gospel. I am the door. I am the door. If any man, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. By me alone. Now that's the truth of the gospel. You know that. John chapter 3 in the verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And it is simple trust in Christ that makes the difference. It is Christ alone that can give everlasting life. And as we refuse Christ alone, there is the wrath of God abiding on the head of the sinner. You know the words of John 14 in the verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter takes up the same theme in Acts 4 and verse 12. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's Christ and Christ alone that makes the difference between life and not life, between eternal life and eternal wrath. It's Christ alone who is the way to God, and this is the truth that the Savior emphasizes against the background of these false teachers and these false ideas that a man can push himself in front of Christ and come to God as he is by his own merit. In spite of the fact that it wasn't what they wanted to hear and it was contrary to their own ideas, the Savior asserts this simple gospel truth. Why does he need to teach it? Why does he need to emphasize it, as he does here? The reason is given to us in verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. It was because of their lack of understanding in this manner. He teaches the truth in verse 9, I am the door. He has already stated that fact in verse 7, and he does so because of the ignorance of men's hearts when it comes to the gospel. The plain, simple truth must be taught because of the ignorance that prevails in the minds of men. This is a doctrine that men do not readily understand. Now, it's hard to get anything simpler. The simple fact is that the Savior has said, I am the door. I am the only way to God. There's nothing more simple than that. And yet that is something that is foreign to the mind of man. They understood not these things. And because they didn't understand it, he repeats it, he makes it plain, he makes it clear. Because it is the Savior's desire that men understand this. And it ought to be our desire too, to advance and to spread this understanding that the Lord Jesus alone is the way to God. Now the uniqueness of Christ's work and the fact that he alone is the means of access to the sheep of God and to communion with God is strongly emphasized here. You see how it is repeated. Verse 7, I am the door. Verse 9, I am the door. Verse 7 has the emphasis that is given by those two words, verily, verily. And you will know that they're quite common, particularly in John's Gospel and in the New Testament record of Christ's ministry. Very often he prefaced remarks of the most or of the greatest importance by this simple statement, verily, verily, emphasizing their truth. That relates just the word Amen, a word that emphasizes its truth, but also emphasizes that this is unshakable truth. This is foundational truth. Verily, verily, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. This is the only truth that saves. This is the only truth upon which men can build a foundation or make a foundation for their souls in eternity. It is the Amen of Christ. I am the door. It's not only the only truth that saves, but it is, as we have seen, the qualifying feature of a true minister of Jesus Christ, that he preaches Christ alone. Like the Apostle Paul, we preach Christ crucified. That's it. That's the message. That's the mark in the context. The Savior is saying is the mark of a true shepherd of the sheep. The only entrance to the flock of God then is through Christ. Through Christ alone. But secondly, you will see that there are a number of blessings spoken of in this text that are to be enjoyed by those who come to Christ and who enter through him as the door. There are several things referred to in the verse 9 that follow upon entrance through the door. As we think of them, we will see what it means to be part of the flock of God, what it means to be part of the sheep of Christ. These are the results of faith. These are what faith secures. First of all, we have the word saved. There is the promise of salvation, the experience of deliverance, the experience of safety that is embodied in this word saved. Remember the picture that is in view here. It's the picture of the fold. The sheep in the fold. The sheep being safe. The sheep being sheltered. The sheep in a place of security. They were in the fold. They were guarded by the one who kept the door. The door stood between them and the dangers that were outside. Now there were two specific kinds of dangers that we must think of. There is the danger that is represented by the thief and the robber. Those destructive agents that were out to destroy the sheep, to carry them off. But the fold stood between them and the thief and the robber. The walls of the fold and the door of the fold was closed against that particular danger and shut the sheep in to safety and to security. The thief, the work of the thief and the robber will signify to us the work of the devil, who is the great destroyer. These men, these false teachers, when it comes down to it, are presented by the Savior here as the agents of Satan who are out to destroy the souls of men and women. That's what false doctrine does. It destroys men and women's souls. It ruins them. It brings eternal death. It brings them down into perdition. But the sheep are safe from that. The sheep of Christ are safe from the destructive, ravaging power of the devil. They are beyond his reach. They are beyond the reach of the thief and the robber, because they are in the fold, and because between them and the outside is the door. There is a wonderful truth set out in this picture, that Christ is the one who, being the door, stands between them and the destructive powers that are at work outside. They are closed in by Christ to safety and security. Those who come through Christ to meet with God are saved. They are safe, and they are closed in by the Savior eternally to that glorious security that is to be found in him. We need to think too of the fact that outside the fold there is the wrath of God to be contended with. Those who are outside are under the wrath of God. Those who have not come through the door, according to John 3:36, the wrath of God abides upon them. It hangs over their head. There is the wrath of God outside the fold. But again, those who have come through the door are safe from that wrath. There is no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And again, Christ stands between my soul and the wrath of God. He is the door. I have entered by him, and he stands between me and the wrath of God. It cannot come to me. It cannot find me. It cannot reach me. Because having entered through Christ, he stands between me and the judgment of God. Inside, there is safety. Outside, there is only exposure to the wrath of God and to the destructive desires and activities of the thief and the robber. So those who come by the door are safe. They are saved, delivered from the wrath of God and from the power of Satan and sin. Then there's a second thing. He shall be saved, but he shall go in and out. That's an interesting little phrase, because it's one that is commonly used in Scripture to indicate the kind of situation where one is at home. To go in and to come out just indicates that sort of comfortable, home-like experience. It's the place where one is comfortable. It's the place where one finds rest. It's where the place where one finds ease. Let's just look at one example of it in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and the verse 26. When Saul, this is Paul, the apostle, just after his conversion, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he had said or tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So there was this sort of tension and suspicion here. Paul wanted to be part of the group. He wanted to fit in with them. He wanted to be part of this band of disciples in Jerusalem. But because of the suspicions that they had, because of Paul's evil past, there was a little reluctance there. He just didn't fit right in immediately. But Barnabas, verse 27, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And now there's a change occurs. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Now he's part of the group. Now he's at home. Now he has fitted right in. It is the kind of little idiomatic statement that speaks of ordinary routine, speaks of the kind of situation in life where we're comfortable, where we're at ease, where we are content. And the thought in the word here is simply this, that when a man enters through Christ, there is a radical change in his heart, in his whole life. He now finds rest and peace. It is as if he comes home. There is peace and comfort and joy in his heart. We know that the scripture says there is no peace to the wicked. There is no rest to the wicked, but rather they are as a troubled sea that cannot rest. But for the man or woman that enters through the door, why they enter, as it were, they enter home. There's the comfort of home, the rest and the security of being at home. They go in and out. No longer strangers, lost and wandering abroad, but they're at home. Look at John 14, the verse 23. We have the spiritual equivalent, as it were, of what the Lord is indicating by these words. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, at home with the Lord. Those who love the Lord, those who trust the Lord, those who are the sheep of Christ, well, they're at home with God. The Lord has promised, we will come, we will make our abode with him. The fold, as it were, becomes home for the sheep. A place of rest and comfort and security and peace. And this is what Christ is to his people. Paul in Romans chapter 15, the verse 13, prayed for the believers in Rome. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. All joy and peace in believing. That's what comes to the man who trusts Christ. There is all joy and peace. This is what the sheep find. Even in a natural sense, the sheep would have felt safe and secure in the fold. There would have been, even on the level of an animal instinct, that recognition that I'm home, I'm safe, I can be sheltered here through the night. And how much more that is the case with those who have come to Christ. There is a peace of heart knowing that there is safety and shelter in Him. I might just point out before we leave this thought that if we think of the context and the lesson that the Savior desires to instruct us in here, that it is part of this rest of soul that the sheep find in Christ, it is part of that that they go in and out. Now that also will relate to the work of the shepherd that is spoken of, or the faithful minister of the gospel that is referred to earlier in the portion. They go in and out. They go in and out through Christ, under the guidance and direction of this under-shepherd. This is the context that he's saying this in. Here is part of the rest of God's people, where they place themselves under the leadership, under the guidance of a pastor. That's part of the rest. You know, that's a reason why many of God's people today are dissatisfied, don't experience the rest that they could experience, because they ignore God's order. God's order for His people is you be part of a local church, you be under the preaching of the gospel of God's word. That's the order He has instituted for His sheep. They are to go in and out. And in the context of the picture, they would have gone in and out under the guidance of the under-shepherd. But then there is a third blessing. It is to find pasture. He shall be saved. He shall go in and out. He shall find pasture. There is nourishment and food promised and provided for those who enter the fold of God through Christ. There is satisfaction of soul. Matthew 5 and 6 speaks of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is the state of the sinner who has been awakened to his sin, who begins to feel his own shortcomings, and he longs for a righteousness that will satisfy God. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and the promise is, he shall be filled. He shall be filled. That's the same promise here, that the sheep, the one who comes through Christ, the door, entering the sheepfold, coming in among the people of God, being saved, is one who is satisfied, who is fed, who is nourished. You know that that is a common theme in the gospel revelation. We have the Savior spoken of as the bread of life, the water of life. We have the analogy used constantly through the gospel portions that indicate that satisfaction of soul. You have passages like Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." You have portions like the Psalm 23, where the same picture that the Lord uses is brought again to our notice. And in the opening verses of that little psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And there you have the satisfaction of the appetite of the Christian. And this is what the Lord is saying here. If a man enters through me into the community of God's people, into the fold, he's now part of the flock, I'll feed him. I'll nourish him. There will be satisfaction for his conscience, because Christ has made atonement for his sin. There'll be satisfaction for the hunger and the natural appetite of the new heart that desires to learn and to be fed more and more of Christ. I'll feed him, because he'll go in and out and find pasture. And again, just to tie it to the context, under the guidance of the pastor, there will be the finding of pasture. That's the picture the Lord has here. I'm the door. The sheep go in and out through me. In me they are safe. In me, under the guidance of the shepherd, they find pasture. They grow, they develop, they live, they are nourished, they are healthy. This is the promise of God to all who come to Him through Christ. But then finally, let me just point this out. that these blessings are freely offered to any who will enter. I am the door, by me if any man enter in. Any man, without exception, who comes and enters through the door. What does it mean to enter? What does it mean to enter in through the door into the sheepfold? Well, it's simply language that expresses the idea of trusting Christ. It is to come to Him. It is to rest in His ability to save. It is to rest in His revelation of Himself as the one mediator between God and man. It is to accept, to believe, to depend upon that when Jesus says, I can give you access to God, He means that. We come, we take Him at His word, we depend upon that word, we believe in Him, we repudiate every other means of access, we put away the idea of climbing up some other way, we go through the door, we take Him at His word, and we come to God by Him. It's just simple faith in Christ. And as that faith is exercised, we are saved, we go in and out, and we find pasture. So I was thinking of these words. I was thinking of the words of a little chorus. I'm not sure whether you know it or not. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? This is the door that is set before us in Christ in the gospel. What a marvelous thing it is to be inside, to be in the fold, to be safe, to be able to go in and out, to feel at home in the presence of God and to feed and to nourish our souls. Oh, that the Lord would be pleased, even by His saving power, to draw sinners to Himself, that they might come and enter in and be saved.